सहनावतु सहन भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
ओके सो या वी विल हैव द मेथड डिवोशन नाउ And tomorrow there are no classes. It's Prabhupada's disappearance day, so no, it will be temple program. So then the next class will be on Thursday. And that way also this the class Nectar Devotion will not be at 10 o'clock. This is instead. It will not be at 10 o'clock. Means instead of
On Thursday?
10 o'clock? No, today.
Oh, yeah.
On Thursday, there are no classes. Is there on tomorrow, Thursday. There are no classes.
Yeah, tomorrow, no classes. Wednesday, no classes.
No. So on Thursday, Wednesday, normal. Regular schedule. Okay, so so we're talking on Nectar Devotion now. So we were going through that chapter 5 last week, so then just a little overview. Then we summarized first all the Srila Prabhupada Swami's instructions. Then Rupa Goswami also explains if and what are the some limitations who can become a Vaishnava. Then what is the important for a Vaishnava to observe? How does Vaishnava behave? Then what and how do we deal with situation when we may feel that we may see some Vaishnava falling down, what should be our stand to it. And then how does a devotee surrenders to the Lord? Is there a way how one can immediately surrender, or does that need some prerequisitions for it? I'm looking for some straws. No, don't. Over here, the birds, you know, walk everywhere, they are not scared. Then, definition of the first class, man. How does Rupa Goswami defines that? And the most important question of the conditioned soul, then if I surrender to the Lord and I give up my material attachments, then who is going to give me shelter? So then we discussed on that Krishna Bhagavad Gita, he says, you don't have to worry about, Krishna will take care of everything, Krishna will be our ultimate shelter. So now on that, Are there some questions? From what we were discussing then last week. So then we move on to the next one. So we are on the chapter 6, and then how to discharge devotional service. So, Sri Rupa Goswami mentions basic principles to be able to begin devotional service. Okay, I will read all of them as they are, and then we can just go back to it and maybe one by one explain. And again, there are some questions, then we can discuss more. So, then first, accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. Second, becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. Three, obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. Four, following in the footsteps of great acharyas under direction of the spiritual master. Five, inquiring from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. 6. Being prepared to give up anything material for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. 7. Residing in a sacred place of pilgrimage like Dwaraka or Vrindavan. 8. Accepting only what is necessary or dealing with the material world only as far as necessary. 9. Observing the fasting day on Ekadashi. And 10. Worshipping sacred trees like a banyan tree. So, here we have 10 basic elements how we can discharge devotional service, how we can start devotional service. Now, I'll read the other 10 also, because they go together, as we see, and then we will talk about that very elaborately, because it is important element to understand. This is the beginning of devotional service. So, to be able to elevate oneself from the platform of sarana bhakti or devotional service in practice, one must follow these instructions. One should rigidly give up the company of non-devotees. One should not instruct a person who is not desirous of accepting devotional service. 3. One should not be very enthusiastic about constructing temples or costly temples of monasteries. 4. One should not try to read too many books, nor should one develop the idea of earning his livelihood by lecturing on the professionally reciting Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. 5. One should not be neglectful in ordinary dealings. 6. One should not be under the spell of lamentation in loss or jubilation in gain. 7. One should not disrespect the demigods. 8. One should not give up unnecessary trouble to any living entity. 9. One should carefully avoid the various offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord or in worshipping the deity in the temple. 10. One should be very intolerant towards the blasphemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or his devotees. Now, are all the above instructions all important? Now, all the instructions are important, but out of the 20, the first three, namely accepting the shelter of bona fide spiritual master, taking initiation from him, and serving him with respect and reverence, are the most important. Okay. Now, what is the difference between the set of first 10 instructions and the second? Yes?
The first are things that you should do, and the second are things that you should not do.
Yes. So then the first 10 instructions are based on always remember Krishna. So this, following this, it will automatically make you remember Krishna, and they will help you to elevate yourself from this material world. Now, if you follow this, and you don't have any other problems, any other attachments, then the next 10 are automatically followed. But because it's the beginning of the devotional service, so we are going to start to perform devotional service. So naturally there will be problem. There will be some difficulties. To avoid the difficulties, then Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī, he tells us what we should avoid. Because avoiding this, it will help us to overcome the obstacles. And then at the end, he mentions that the first three instructions are the most important. And that is accepting spiritual master, following instructions, and serving. Now, why would these three be the most important? Yes?
Because if you follow those, the spiritual master will make sure that you follow the rest.
Without spiritual master, then how do we know what to do? There are many people in the world, and they are looking for solutions, they are looking for goal of their life. But do they know? Are they finding? Even within the devotees, if they don't try to see the instructions of Guru Sadhu Shastra in the light of the Acharya, even among the devotees, they may have difficulty seeing or understanding how some shastra, no, it's not contradictory with another one. How instructions of one Vaishnava, it's not in contradiction with another one. So, because of our conditioning, then we see things as dualities. And because of the dualities, then we will naturally be bewildered. For Krishna, there are no dualities. For a person who is liberated, there are no dualities. But who is not, they are. So because of these dualities, we will see the differences. But the differences don't exist. So how do we come to know, or when we have a doubt, who is going to help us? Who is going to tell us, well, there is no difference. There is no any contradiction. So we have to have a person, we have to have somebody who will help us. So that will be the Acharya. So Śrīla Prabhupāda, he established the movement. And in his books, he gives his instructions. He tells us how we should see everything. So he creates a certain mood. The mood with which we follow the devotional service, it's very important. Because the mood which we follow, this is the mood of Vrindavan. So since we want to go back to Vrindavan, so it is necessary for us to follow that. Other devotees, they may want to go to different place. Vaikuntha, Dwaraka, maybe Mathura. So, it's a spiritual world. It's non-different. But the mood may be different. So, we have to be very careful to understand the mood of our Acharya, the mood of our spiritual master. And with that mood, we should approach any other knowledge what we consider necessary for ourselves to gain. So we should not be studying books which we cannot understand how we connect it in line with our Acharya. If we see difference in some difference or this looks better than that one, we are in trouble. Don't read that book. You don't know what you are doing. If you can apply the knowledge from the book, based on the mood of Acharya and explain it, see it from different angles, such a way so that others may be able to understand the mood better, then it's okay. But these books are just to enhance the mood of the Acharya, his instructions. We don't need to look for books to get something new, because everything is already written, and this is by the grace of the Acharya. So, first of all, accepting the spiritual master. That means we have to have enough faith that our spiritual master is going to give us the knowledge we need for our life. Without accepting him, without being actually able to have enough faith, I'm not talking about surrender. Surrender may take some time, but at least enough faith that what he says has some value. I may not understand why. Why is he telling me I should do this? But I don't want to. Okay, so is he wrong? Or maybe we can accept, maybe it's just we don't understand. So if we try to have that much faith in our spiritual master, that even though if we don't understand, but we should not keep in our misgivings. We have a doubt. Okay, my Guru Maharaj, please, I don't understand. Why are you wanting me to do this? I don't feel fit for it. It's a doubt. But we open our mind and we clearly say, I don't understand it. There is no challenge. I don't understand it. Please explain to me. Once explained, then we should follow the instruction. If you don't understand, ask again. And keep asking until it's clear in your mind. Then, if you don't want to still do it, then be honest. I really don't feel qualified. I understand what you need, but I cannot do that. Just be honest. But if you really want to elevate, once you understand what it is, then you should understand that it will benefit you. Then try to surrender to that particular instruction. That way, you will make progress in surrender to your spiritual master. So, being able to accept spiritual master, that means being able to accept his instructions. So, in the beginning, when we are conditioned, so many difficulties may be there. We may see, that spiritual master, he is too heavy, and this one, no, he is this, and this one, that. It's our fault we see it. We see the dualities. But we have very important, we have to make decision which spiritual master we will be able to accept. Because we are conditioned. So then it should be that based on our conditioning, somebody who is closest to our heart, whom we can actually listen. If he says something that we should do, then if he tells us, we will do. If he tells us, we may not. That's not very favorable situation. So rather, accept instructions from the one whom you will be able to follow. Because you accept the instructions and you follow the instructions, you will progress in your spiritual life. And that's what we want. Now, once you follow the instructions of the spiritual master, you start advancing. The heart is going to be purified. Then afterwards, you will be able to follow any instruction. Because the conditioning is gone. But until then we are conditioned to the extent we are not surrendered. So therefore, being able to accept spiritual master to the extent that we will be able to take his instruction and follow the instruction. But follow, no, we should not try to be clever with our spiritual master. I know one of the spiritual masters, well, maybe few have a difficulty with that. Sometimes the disciples, they come and they ask, oh, Guru Maharaj, can I marry? And now he knows what's going on. It's not a question if I can get married. It's already arrangement made. Everything is being set up, but he just wants blessing, but he doesn't want to say it that way. So then basically he's forcing in one way the spiritual master to say, yes, no problem, no, go for it. Okay, so please come, no, next week is already the marriage arranged, so then no, you are invited. That's not good. That's not good. But as I heard about one incident also happened during Srila Prabhupada's time, was one devotee, and he asked Srila Prabhupada if he can marry second wife. And then Srila Prabhupada said yes. And then after the devotees were very bewildered. No, how is it? I mean, we don't do that. That's not there's no polygamy here. No, that cannot be. So why did you allow him? No, nobody else can. And then Srila Prabhupada explained that he knew that the devotee is going to get married anyway, the second wife. It wasn't a question. And he knew if he says no, so he will get married and he will go against the instruction of his spiritual master. So for his spiritual life, it will be disaster. Now, if he says yes, then he will follow the instructions of his spiritual master. Materially, he will be frustrated, but at least he will save his spiritual life. So, Srila Prabhupada, out of compassion, he actually told him, yeah, you can. But nobody else can. So, here we see the compassion of the spiritual master. He is very much concerned about each and every disciple. The concern of the disciple as the individual is the utmost important. And he will sacrifice anything for it. But now, for some who are not on the level, or for some who are not understanding the mood of the spiritual master, they may say, oh, he is contradictory. He did a mistake. But it is not true. He has a vision which he understands the priorities, what's more important. And according to that, then he may give his instruction. Now, we should try to follow, to understand the mood behind the instruction and not just take it out of context and apply it in any situation we want. That's the difference between understanding the detail and principle. When we know the principle, what's the basic element, then applying the principle in every situation, the details may look differently. Like you are cooking something. So you are putting salt in your sabjis. So salt goes into the cooking, right? It's there. So, okay, I saw my mother, right? She was cooking and she put salt there. So now I'm cooking sweet rice, so I also put salt. Because she does that, so I do also. It's a detail. So if I follow the detail without understanding the principle, I will get things spoiled. It will not work. But if I understand the principle, okay, this is a salty sabji, so that goes differently. This is a sweet, that works differently. So no salt here. Then, applying that, then I get the good result. So we have to be able to catch the principle. And the most important principle in the relationship between guru and disciple, between mother and son, between husband and wife, it's the understanding of the mood. So each and every have to take the right position. Right? The son acts as a son, and then the mother as a mother. The disciple is a disciple, and then the guru is a guru. So when we know that, then we know who we are, and we act on that relationship, and everything goes well. So then the mood is proper. If the disciple start acting as a guru, to his own guru, then the mood is spoiled. It's gone. And the guru will not be able to give instruction to his disciple, because now he is no more disciple. So, as Krishna mentions, that if we want to get anything, then we have to inquire submissively. That means that we cannot have our own ideas, and we may. We may have the doubt, then we inquire. Should we do it like this? And maybe it's a great idea. It will be recommended that we do it. But if somebody else has some better idea, then we should rather think how we can apply that idea in our situation, because we will get better result. We should not be stuck to our little narrow-minded explanation that, oh, it must be like this because I thought about it first. That's great, but then we should open more our vision. Others thought about it much before us, and they worked it out differently, better way. So why don't we apply their situation? The Vedic scriptures are here for quite some time now, and they explain everything about our life, about everything what we need. Srimad Bhagavatam explained everything what we need to do if we want to go back to Godhead. There is no need to manufacture or discover something else. The only thing which we have to discover is ourselves. And that we can do by the process of devotional service. So we can take the Vedic knowledge and we can apply that on any element of this material world. And if we do that, then we will be highly appreciated by other scholars that we actually contributed something new to whatever aspect of life we may take. But to do that, we ourselves, we have to be convinced about it. So we don't have to go and take anything from them, from outside, and apply it to us. We have everything what we need. And it is huge amount. Only we have to be able to find it and apply it. And have a trust, have a faith that it is much better than anything else. You see, like example, butter is being used for, I don't know, before Krishna's time it was there, not during Krishna's time it was very much there. And people just prosper. Now they figure out that they can make margarine. Now, what it is, it's actually distasteful, no, some lump of solidified fats. And in fact, it's not really even much edible, but it's cheap to make, and then they need to sell it. But who would buy it? So then they make such a nice, no, advertisements about how it's, no, contains some, you know, some, how do they call it? Some good cholesterol, but butter contains bad cholesterol, so don't eat butter, eat this. And people go for it. They start to get sick. So then they say, oh, actually, no, there is something in it, no, well, we are working on it. No. It's actually plastic. But then we are working on it, we will make it better. And so some say, so let's take a butter. So for some time, okay, this, but then they discover, actually, butter is not good. So then no, don't eat butter at all and eat only this. Now there are some people who listen to it because it was spoken on TV. So then that must be true. And people eat it, people get sick. But those who eat butter, so they don't have complaints. Maybe not everybody can eat as much as Krishna, but no. But another, and it was no, in America they were making survey all over the world, which people live the most healthy life. So then they went through all the countries. They went to no, the American, they went to no, South America, they went to the Western Europe, the Eastern Europe, they went to no, all parts of Africa, Asia, and they came up actually with a very, very surprising conclusion that the most healthy life they found on the Indian village. And then they explained why. They say that the